are we asking the right question? It's in the heart of the enchanting medieval city of San Gimignano, nestled in the gentle rolling hills of beautiful Tuscany in the heart of Italy, that you will find the city's historic cathedral, the Duomo. It was consecrated by Pope Eugenio III in 1148. This ancient cathedral is best known for its elaborate series of majestic frescoes that literally cover all of the walls and the ceiling. They were painted by some of the greatest Italian Renaissance painters in the 14th century. You see, most of the people in the 14th century were illiterate, and the frescoes became the way that they learned the stories of the Bible. And so when you walk into the cathedral, the wall on your left is totally covered with 26 different frescoes, scenes from the Old Testament. It begins with the creation of the world, going through the Garden of Eden, Noah and the flood, the story of Joseph, of Moses and the Exodus, and finally the story of Job. But on the right side of the cathedral, also revealed in 26 stunning frescoes, beginning with the Annunciation and continuing through the resurrection, is the story of the gospel. But the thing that just immediately captures your attention is there is one fresco that is four times larger than all of the others. It is the fresco of the crucifixion. And a few days ago, Joyce and I had the powerful experience of standing before that fresco, looking at all of the details. It was pointed out that here in that one fresco on the crucifixion, you see every human emotion. On the right, you see the religious leaders with their pious arrogance, their judgmental sense of condemnation, their smug sense of satisfaction in watching their enemy suffer. And then we see the soldiers. And interestingly, we see a wide array of emotions coming from the soldiers. Some display vicious anger as they carry out their deadly deed. Some seem totally indifferent. They're not concerned in the midst of this extreme suffering. Their apathy is evident in the soldiers down at the foot of the cross who are just casting lots for the garments. There's some of the soldiers that seem to have a pained expression, as if they are affected, they are moved by this carnage of human suffering, but they're helpless to do anything about it. And then there are two soldiers actually at the foot of the cross, at the direct foot of the cross. They have a different look. They have a look of awe and fear and even reverence. One holds the symbol of vinegar that was offered to Jesus when he said, "I thirst." And it makes you wonder if maybe this soldier, that one soldier who showed a little compassion, if maybe he was the one who said, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." And then there are the faithful. The mother of Jesus has fainted in the wake of this terrible, horrific tragedy. She's being comforted by the other women, although they have looks of despair, and standing with a look of disbelief and shock is St. John, whose care of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as you know, had just been entrusted to him. There are other faithful looking on, but they have looks of hopelessness and despair. Everything that they had believed in, their whole world has suddenly fallen apart. It is being destroyed. And then there are two thieves. It's interesting, the one on Jesus' left is in terrible agony. He is the one who has refused the grace of God. And the Renaissance painters have little demons floating over his head. But the one on Jesus' right, the one who accepted God's mercy, the one to whom Jesus said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise," there are angels hovering over his cross as his life fades away. And then there's Jesus, hanging on the cross, nails in his hand, his feet, a spear thrust in his side, and yet even in this moment of greatest suffering, he appears to be in control. And on his face, there is perfect peace, because he does not lose his life, but he is giving his life as a ransom for many. And the angels hover above and around the cross. The amazing thing that the Renaissance painter has done is he has represented all of humanity at the cross of Jesus. The believers, the unbelievers, the faithful, the unfaithful, the skeptics, the critics, the antagonist, the agnostics, the desperate, the hopeless, the indifferent, the compassionate, the cruel, hearts that were full of hatred, hearts that were full of love. Everyone was at the cross, which makes me ask, are we asking the right question? Because it seems to answer the question, were you there? Yes, I was there, you were there, we all come to the cross, whether we believe or not, whether we care or not, whether we're full of anger and bitterness or love and kindness, whether we're faithful or unfaithful, we're all at the cross. So perhaps the question we should ask is this: it is not, were you there, but maybe because we were there, where are we now as a result of the cross? The thing that we need to remember is simply this: the cross of Jesus Christ is the crucible of human history. It is the pivotal moment when all that is wrong with this world collides with all that is right with this world. The cross is God's answer to an evil, violent, angry, vindictive, hateful, unjust, uncaring, cruel, and dark world. We have been studying creation. A lot of us earlier this year in our Bible study, we've been studying Genesis. And it's amazing to me that as we open the first book in the Bible and as we begin to see creation, that first chapter is full of joy. We read about how there was in the beginning, there was darkness, there was chaos, and God established order, and then God started to create. He created with his word, and God spoke, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and he saw that the light was... Okay, settle down. Young people, when God created, he saw that the light was awesome. Don't ever say good. And God said, "Oh, that's good." No, it was awesome. It was joyful. God was rejoicing. He was celebrating. He was dancing. He was leading a parade. All of the first chapter of Genesis is about joy, it's about beauty, it's about harmony, it's about love in that Garden of Eden. But then, a few chapters later, over in the sixth chapter, all we see is evil, and all we see is darkness. What happened? It was so evil that it said the heart of man was continually evil. Every imagination of his heart was nothing but evil. And it broke God's heart. The scripture says he was sorry that he made humanity. But even in that statement, there's a glimmer of hope. Because the word grief and sorrow is the same word that is used for the pain that a mother experiences in the birth of a child. Even though there is pain, even though there is suffering, God was still, he had the heart of a mother, a heart of love, and a heart of forgiveness. Today, we look at our world, and we shake our heads, and we wonder what in the world has happened. Don't we? I mean, every time you turn on the news, there's another shooting. There's another act of violence. There's more hatred. There's arrogance. There's bickering. It goes on and on. In a creation that is so beautiful and so pristine, it's marred in so many ways. Joyce and I, these past few weeks, have had the incredible opportunity to spend some time in one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth, and that is in Tuscany. In Tuscany, with the beautiful rolling hills and the fertile valleys with the olive trees and the vineyards. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. But you know, you often see these paintings of Tuscany and how gorgeous they are. We have said that we feel like we've been living in a painting. It has really been surreal. A few days ago, we were riding around with our dear friend, Maria Luisa. Maria Luisa, whose grandfather was a POW in the Second World War, whose great-grandfather was killed in the First World War. And we're driving around, and I'm always commenting. I said, look at this. Look how beautiful that is. Look how beautiful this is. And it was just a gorgeous day, and it was a beautiful day. And Maria Luisa, we were getting close to San Gimignano, and she pointed to, she said, you see that hill? She said, at the conclusion of the Second World War, when the German soldiers were leaving, there was one last thing that they did. They rounded up all of the men in the village of San Gimignano. These were not soldiers. These were men who were too old or too young to fight. They were grandfathers. They were sons. They were husbands and brothers. They rounded up over 100 innocent men, and they took them to the top of that hill, and they shot them and killed them for no reason at all. How do you explain that? Where's the answer to the violence? What do you say to a parent who has lost a child in a school shooting? What happens when the best people we know have a terminal illness that we cannot explain? The only answer that I can find is found in the cross. When Jesus said, my God, why? All of the whys of human history are caught up with the why on the cross. To a world full of hatred, The cross is God's answer of love. To a world that is unjust, the cross is God's answer of justice. To a world intent on war, the cross is God's answer of peace. To a world with hopelessness and despair, the cross is God's answer of hope. To a world of suffering and pain, the cross is God's answer of healing. To a world of retribution, the cross is God's answer of forgiveness. To a world of sinfulness, the cross is God's answer of grace. To a world that is often callous and uncaring, the cross is God's answer of compassion. To a world of destruction, the cross is God's answer of redemption. To a world of darkness, the cross is God's answer of light. To a world of ugliness, the cross is God's answer of beauty. To a world of death, the cross is God's answer of life. And to a world of condemnation, the cross is God's answer of salvation. The cross is the pivotal moment in human history when all that was wrong with this world collides with all that is right with this world. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?